step did you take to help someone know Jesus Christ better? What step did you take to help someone understand that he or she need Christ? What positive step did you take to represent Jesus Christ in his primary mission here? He said he came for this purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. Of course, the implication there is that by extension, we are to carry on that work. What step have you taken to help Christ in his mission? We have been looking on the subject. The statement from the Almighty God, occurring some 180 times plus in the entire Bible, that is the statement, "Fear not," and its counterpart, "Be not afraid." We continue that lesson today. Today we look, this is the third lesson. The first lesson we addressed the subject of fear. It was meant to help us to understand fear better, how it comes. The second lesson last week, we looked from the book of Luke, where Jesus Christ told the father whose daughter, the only child, was critically ill. In fact, by the time the father reached Jesus Christ, and even before he had the chance to complete his request, words came from his house that his daughter died. Christ said to the man, "Fear not." Today we look on another "fear not." In fact, we look on "fear not" where it was the first time that statement occurs in the Bible, the very first time. And that is Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. There are times, there are texts, there are moments, and there are situations when the Almighty God reveals or unfolds so much of himself to man. I repeat, there are times, there are passages, I used previously the word text, referring to passages in the Bible. There are moments, there are situations in life when the Almighty God either reveals or unfolds so much of himself to man. Abraham's encounter with God in the book of Genesis 15 is one of those time or moments. They are not a first time in Genesis chapter 15. Fear not, as I've said, occurs for the first time in the entire Bible. That is found in verse 1. It is the first time in the Bible we have reference made to someone getting a vision. Very first time. It is the first time the Almighty God reveals Himself as a shield. S-H-I-E-L-D, a shield. We hope to speak more about that today. Because we do need shield as human beings. It is the first time the divine name Adonai Jehovah, that is Lord God, occurs as a combination in the entire Bible. The very first time that the divine name, Lord God, Adonai Jehovah, it is the first time the word believed occurs in the Bible. B-E-L-I-E-V-E-D, believed, the very first time. It is in Genesis 15 for the first time also that the word reckon or count occurs in the Bible. Genesis 15. Very first time. And for the very first time the word righteousness occurs in the Bible. There's hardly another chapter in the Bible that has so many first times. Genesis 15:1.
After these things.
Stop there. After these things. Then, as the brother reads a little further, we come upon, and the Lord God appeared to Abram, telling Abram, fear not. But notice, the chapter begins with, after these things, our mind should naturally ask, what things? Can you bear with me a few minutes as we go into these things? Because, you see, what has happened? Chapter 15 going to be talking about some things which bear upon or grew out of these things. So let us see if we can get a little more background from chapter 14, where did these things took place. In fact, it would be difficult for you to and me to understand some of the things in chapter 15. If we did not have some information from chapter 14. And even before I get into my lesson, we need to get those out of the way. After these things, there was a great king at this time, Chedorlaomer Mary. This king was, he gave the ear of invincibility. One who could not be conquered. And he formed an alliance with some three other kings and their kingdoms. It was an alliance of conquest. And somebody asked, why need to get in this? In a few minutes, you will see that it is a part of these things. So, Chedar Lomer formed this alliance. It is an alliance of conquest. Let us hear 14:4-7.
12 years.
12 years.
They serve Chedorlaomer.
Now, wait. These are the king and their kingdom. It was sort of a colonial power structure where you have some other kingdom, but that they were under Chedorlaomer. For how many years, brother?
12 years.
Uh-huh.
And in the 13th year, they rebelled.
They rebelled. Read.
And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him.
That is his allies.
And smote Rephaim of Ashtaroth, Carnium, and Zozim in Ham, and Imins in Shaveh, Kerathiam, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto Elparan, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came.
Wait. The brother has just listed five kingdoms that he invaded, fought against, and won. Five kingdoms. With his allies, he defeated these five kings. But watch here. Five other kings combine their forces together to fight against Chedorlaomer. Read on, brother, verse 8.
And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Adah and the king of Zebulun and the king of Bela.
That's five.
The same is Zor.
Read.
And they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim.
These five kingdoms joined battle. They made their alliance too. It's like they're reasoning. Chedorlaomer is a terrible threat to us. Let us form our own alliance and fight against him. When they did, he conquered them too. That's right. But here is the sad situation. In defeating these five kings and their kingdoms, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was taken, captured with their kings. And you know what? Lot, Abram's nephew, was also taken captive because he was a citizen of Sodom or Gomorrah. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah are two cities close to each other. The lot was taken. Now you see, we are getting closer now to our lesson. All that I've been saying previously is just introduction to understand after these things. When words reach Abraham that his nephew was taken captive by Chedorlaomer, Abraham felt an obligation to go and rescue his nephew. Let us hear verse 9 through verse 12.
With Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and the title king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the vale of Shittim was full of slime pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. And
wait. You get the drift here. When they were fighting, that is, these five kings, including the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, when they made their alliance to fight against Chedorlaomer and his alliance, The battle, it seems, became very hot. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah was running away to save their lives, running from the battle. But they ran in a section that was a slime pit. Let me hear that again, brother, quick.
And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. And the king...
May I just drop this along? A lot of what we are reading here, a lot of these kings were Asiatic. Truly, they were Asiatic from Asia. Chinese, Indians, and all this. A lot of what the geography of this area is part of it. Read on, brother.
And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. And fell there.
Fell into the slime pit.
And they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah. And all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot.
Y'all hear that? He had to be picked out for you to get God's involvement in history. Read.
And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed.
They took Lot a captive, and they departed. Read, brother.
And there came one that had escaped.
One who escaped from the slaughter of Sodom and Gomorrah.
And told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Anar, and these were confederates with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive,
who is Abram's brother? It's referring to Lot, who is Abram's nephew, as Abram's brother. So don't let the language of the Bible or the translator confuse you. Abram's brother is referring to his nephew. Read on.
And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan.
Wait, Abraham. now, here you have brothers and sisters. Chedorlaomer, who have conquered three kingdoms, five kingdoms. That would tell us that the man had a very strong army. Abram felt so obligated when he heard what happened to his nephew that The word translated servant here, are we all there? It's the same word translated slave. Abraham owned slaves. But it also tells how many? 318. Are we all there? This tells us that Abraham must have been a wealthy man to have so much servant. Huh? I cannot even afford one. Abraham had 318. And he's going to do a crash program and train these to go and rescue his nephew Lot. Are we all there, brothers and sisters? Read a little further, brother.
And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by day, and smote them, and pursued them unto...
Wait. Abraham didn't just galang so. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, in doing things in life, you need to think the most effective way to approach it. Read that little part again, brother.
And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night.
By night he divided. That is, he would say, 100 of you go this direction, another 100. And he said, you know what? When they are sleeping, what the Bible says, and they shall say, peace and
safety.
That's it. When they are sleeping, it's the best time. That is surprise attack. Abraham was a sensible man. And we can learn a lot. That we should put some thinking when we set out to do anything that is important, especially the things for God. We should be strategic.
And smote them.
And smote them. Wait. Brothers and sisters, are you following? Abraham with 318 against Abraham. That is from human calculation. May I, brothers and sisters? But what we learn in this is that when the Almighty God is part of our equation, the odds are never against us. Very important that we learn this. Because here, there's no doubt that Chedorlaomer with his allies had tens of thousands of soldiers. Abraham, 318 soldiers. Man, you crazy? Abraham was not crazy because God was a part of his calculation. In fact, it is also typical. In fact, read a little, brother.
And pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods.
Abraham won the battle against this invincible Chedorlaomer and his allies. Abraham, with 318 soldiers, won and brought back the goods, and also brought back his nephew Lot. Read on.
And also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the and the king of Sodom.
Wait. So Abraham was victorious. When, you see, he undertook a mad mission, desperate to save his nephew. But God was with Abraham. That makes all the difference. And when we face our challenges, our fears, our problems, our issues. We must never let those issues blind our eyes and our minds and diminish our faith in the Almighty God. It is typical. That is the 318 as against the tens of thousands of these heathen soldiers. It is typical of the superior might of the spiritual world over the secular or the material world. It is typical that the spiritual men and women who truly follow God's word, believe in it, accept it, live by it, the world with all what it has shall never be a match for you. The passage tells us that Chedorlaomer was slain, and those kings with him. May I? In the happenings, in the happenings of Genesis chapter 14, some of which we have just read. That is, we read about these regional wars with Chedorlaomer and others. We have read about Lot. That is what now brings us to chapter 15. Let us hear verse 1 of chapter 15 again, brother. Quick.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Fear not, Abraham, after these things. You are well aware of what some of these things are now. That is, after Abraham had gone and rescued Lot, endangering his own life. After he undertook this business where the odds were against Abraham, the Almighty God knew that there were some things going through Abraham's mind. We're coming to them. Brothers and sisters, before we move on, there are some takeaways from chapter 14. Before we talk a little about verse 1 and probably verse 2 or 15, let us hear verse 4, chapter 14. Quick, brother. 14.
And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan.
May I? Christian. May I? One of the takeaways from chapter 14, which the brother has just read, is that there are many times when our spiritual brothers and sisters are taken captive. Are we all there? There are many times when Satan's trickery take away our brothers and sisters. That is, our spiritual brothers and sisters. We must go on a rescue mission to help them. Amen. That is one of the takeaways here. Are we all there? There is another. In fact, I think it is in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. That if a brother be overtaken, he who are spiritual, are to go and rescue that person. Abraham went and rescued Lot. We are also in the rescuing business for Jesus Christ. But there is another takeaway from this chapter 14. Abraham's faith, Abraham's boldness, and Abraham's courage. Wait. Brother Mitchell, did you say Abraham's courage? Isn't Abraham the same man who on two occasions lied about his wife because he was afraid the king would kill him? Same man. But may I? We have to be careful that we do not so keep our eyes constantly on the negative that we never see the positive. The same Abraham that on two occasions, because his wife was very beautiful, he knew when he went to particular places, the king, the leader, would take her away. And if they knew that Abraham was her husband, they would kill Abraham. I wonder if one of those times Sarah turned to her with a smile and said, "I thought you loved me and you'd give your life for me." We don't know if Sarah said that to Abraham. But it is the same Abraham. We need to know the man's faith, the man's boldness and courage. What Abraham did in rescuing Lot is in keeping with the truth of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. We need to be reminded of that passage. Proverbs 28 and verse 1.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
Wait, read it. Go on.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
Mm-hmm.
But the righteous are bold as a lion.
Stop there, brother. Did you all hear that? It is a fact that the ungodly men and women run when nobody's running after them. That's right. That's a fact. Did you know that very few people are as fearful as the gunmen? The men out there with illegal firearms, they are among the most fearful people. That's right. And many of them feel literally helpless without that illegal gun. The wicked flee
when no man pursueth.
You and I, not, you see, the law-abiding person goes about his or her business. And something just ran through my mind. When we see the police, we are not alarmed. We do not tremble. That's a fact. Sorry. It's a relative of mine. You know, I won't say who it is, I can't. But, you know, you're driving with the person and the person see a police and the person act differently. And one of the time I had to ask the person, why? You always react that way when you see the police. And the person explained to me. You see, when you are law-abiding, you go about, in fact, you are glad when you see the police. But the man who breaks the law and keeps doing wrong, have drugs and illegal firearms. You know, when I was preaching, helping Ty Dixon, I could count the very few times for the few or many years that I helped there that I give anybody a drive. I could, truly. I would usually find some excuse. Sometimes I tell them plainly, I just want to think, so I don't want to carry anybody with me. And that grew out of, many of you here know Brother Trevor McKenzie. The building right across from Waterhouse Drive over the other side of the boulevard used to belong to him. He was a member here, Brother or Sister Williams. That's right, Brother Walter Uncle. We were good friends, and Brother McKenzie had a piece of land in Linstead, and on one occasion he was coming from Linstead, and an old lady with her little box flagged him down, and out of sympathy he stopped and picked up the old lady. And she threw a little box in the back of his little red van and came in. And not farther from there, the police flagged them down, searching vehicle. And when the police searched the box, there was some marijuana in there. Luckily, the old lady acknowledged that it didn't belong to the gentleman, it belonged to her. Because Brother McKenzie could find himself in prison for that. And do you know what? When he denied, many Christians would say, you know, a lime tail. Are we all there? Are we all there? There are many people right here, they don't want proof. As I said, their perception becomes their reality. If they perceive something to be so, it is message sent from heaven. That's going to lead some of us to hell. From that time, with Brother McKenzie, I learned. I become sort of conscious, even my district. When I go to Scott Pass, relatives of a cousin who used to live in Scottstown, and I'll search his truly. In fact, I had a right to search it because I know he would go along that line, his little weed. That's right. And in Ty Dixon, when I go and preach on a first Sunday or whatever and come, people beg me drive, I'll give them bus here. There were times I drive through money because I didn't want to carry anybody. Because I was afraid when they have their little package, then they have drugs, and I get in trouble, and I may end up in prison one day. But you know what? It will not be for illegal drugs. I can tell you that. I don't love money that much. That's right. I love my freedom. Now, I'm not saying I won't end up in prison, but it will not be for illegal drugs. Are we all there? Well, where were you coming from now, Brother Mitchell? Fear. Huh? We're coming from the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 1. Is that right? Let me hear it, brother.
The wicked flee.
The wicked run when nobody around him or her done. That's a fact. And the rest of the verse, we are tying it to Abraham. What the rest of the verse?
But the righteous are bold as a lion.
That is a fact. When you walk with God and know that God is near you, it diminishes much of our fear. Faith does that. So when we must take that away from the courage of Abraham that we see manifested here when he used 318 soldiers to go after an army of 5-4 kings with their army. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1 again.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
We are not going to be able to exhaust or to say much, and because that verse contains, I am thy shield and I am thy exceedingly what?
Great reward.
Let us for a few minutes look at again. Fear not. But first, brothers and sisters, you need to note, as this is the third lesson, the first lesson dealt with a better understanding in respect to the working, the ramification, the cause of fear. The second lesson we look at, fear not. This is the third lesson we're looking on, fear not. But notice, the situation under which the Almighty God found it necessary to make this declaration. We remember the situation that we looked at last week when the man had an only child, a daughter. And that child was critically ill and finally died. When Jesus Christ became aware of the death of that young, almost teenager, Christ said, fear not. Notice it is usually to those in whom the Almighty God have some special interest are those who are faithful to God that the statement is made. I need to repeat that. If you go and examine the 100 or so fear not, and the other 80 or so be not afraid in the Bible, it's usually to men and women, one, in whom the Almighty God had some special interest, or two, to men or women who are faithful servants of God. It's usually in that group to whom God will say, fear not. What are you saying, Brother Mitchell? God fear not is not said to every and everybody. But not only that, it's not only to that group, but it's usually, are we all there? When they face, start again, Brother Mitchell, it's usually when that person, a group of persons, face difficult situation, fearful situation, helpless situation, or hopeless and impossible situation. Almost always when God says, fear not, to a person or group of persons, it's usually what they confront, what they face, the reality before them, real or imaginary, is difficult. It is fearful. They feel helpless. They feel that it is impossible for them to address it alone. When you feel that way, when you feel that you are facing a difficult situation, when you feel that what confronts you now is fearful, when you feel helpless with the challenge or problem before you, when you feel that on your own it is impossible for you to address it, the Almighty God through Jesus Christ is saying to you, fear not. Are we all there? Abraham in defeating the invincible Chadaroma and his ally Abraham knew that he had made some bitter, powerful and influential enemies. After he had not only defeated this invincible king with his allies, Abraham was cognizant of the fact that there are some bitter enemies out there who were friends of Chadaroma. He realized that they were powerful and influential. And you know what Abraham realized? They were not likely to forget or to remain still until they made Abraham pay with his life. That's where chapter 15 came in. That's where it comes in, rather. Abraham realized that the victory has left him with some deep concern. These kings that I have killed, they have other friends and allies in the area. They are kings. They have tens of thousands of soldiers. I have only 318 men that I train at home. May I? Abraham knew that they knew that he had a very small army. This no doubt gave Abraham great feeling of alarm, feeling of fear, feeling of concern, and feeling of apprehension. That's natural. Oh, yo, yo. This happens quite often. I may have to end this lesson, but let me just say a few more things as we end. It happens quite often in life that when life presents to you and me time of joy, time of gladness, time of triumph, and time of rejoicing, so many times when whatever happened to us in life brings joy and gladness and triumph, there comes along something that brings sadness, something that brings concern, something that brings depression. It happens often. Prepare for it. Truly. All the things that you aspire to and expect in life, there are many situations that after you have gotten them, something else is around the corner that bring challenge, sometimes tears, grave concern, and what. This is what happened to Abraham. But Abraham is not the only. I can give you some cases here in the Bible. 3 or 4 cases where it happens. That not long after victory, you find a person got right in the pit of depression. Whenever you hear this, don't ever think that you will be an exception to that rule. Life is full of surprises. That's what happens to Abraham. The man had just gone and was victorious over this mighty, invincible force. You feel that Abraham would be yelling up and prancing all over the place for the next many months. No, the man fell in depression and concern over his own safety. And you know what? You know what, ladies and gentlemen? May I? Sure. Time. Let me hear verse 15 again. Verse 15:1.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward.
Stop there. The Almighty God has over and over again bring to us that He knows our need even more than we know it. In fact, I want to encourage you this morning to find at least one time in the week when you spend a little time reading God's Word. Please, not truly. It matters not how busy you are. Because one of our problems is that many of us don't read God's Word other than when we come to church. And we don't know it. Find some time during the week. It matters not how busy you are to do a little study of God's Word. God has over and over again brings to our attention that is well aware of our need, our situation, our fear, our concern, much more than we understand. Abraham had reason to be apprehensive at this time. He knew that these friends of the kings that he killed will not take it lying down. He knew that he and his family and his household were in danger. And with only 318 soldiers as against their tens of thousands, the Almighty God knew Abram's concern more than Abram did. And out of that, the Almighty God jumped in and said to Abraham, fear not. When God said, I'm thy shield. But you know what? I'm going to have to stop here. What I plan to do tonight, so as not to come back to this lesson next week, because next week we want to show that the very holiness of God brings fear. And it is out of that situation that we are going to look on one of God's fear not. But tonight, what I want to do, just in a short lesson, just show, and why I think you need to get this, is the fact that, are you all there? Don't hold up my lesson. Okay, so you are there. Thank you, because I want to finish. Always remember that the things that bring us joy, laughter, and feeling of victory, they are usually, while not always, they are usually something comes along in life that sometimes want to kill that joy and victory. So I'm saying to you, be wiser so that the help and the strength and the wisdom that God brings, you will be in a position to meet the challenge of whatever comes. Because so tonight I'm going to share with you 2 to 3 cases, or 4, just briefly, of servants of the Almighty God who, within days or weeks or months, after victory that should last them the next umpteen years, Something challenging came. So I'm saying to you, if and when it happens to you, you are not alone. It has just happened to Abraham. The man had good reason to rejoice and to rejoice for a long time. He had just rescued his nephew Lot from this invincible king with his 3 or 5 allies. Yes. Abraham, what you have 10 things to start about? My life and my family life is in danger. Thanks be to God. God was more aware of that than Abraham. And for this reason, God says, fear not. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we share with you some cases and few other things in respect to the fact that feeling of triumph and victory are at times followed with feeling of defeat and fear. In closing, remember, the Almighty God does not promise that we will not meet challenging, unpleasant, even fearful situation in this life. God has not promised us that we will not meet those. What God promises is that He will give us the wherewithal to deal with them. We must keep that in mind. He will give us the wherewithal to deal with them. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, become a child of God so that you can be a participant in God, fear not. Because you need this attitude of fear not as you travel through life. Because life has a lot of fearful situations. But Jesus Christ is adequate to all of them. God is bigger than any problem that you and I will face. Come now to Jesus Christ. Come believing. Come repenting of your sin. Come confessing faith in Christ. And come baptizing for the removal of your sin. In fact, if you are a child of God who has strayed, come now and recommit your life to Jesus Christ as we sing the invitation song. And in that song, Jesus Christ is calling you to repentance, to fellowship with Him, and to a lifelong relationship as we stand and sing, Christ has come.